Chapter 23. D.S. Dennis Tyler was a driver for the Special Escort Group, the police service that provides protection officers for politicians, royalty, VIPs, and visiting firemen. He was trained in observation, physical combat, shooting with handguns and automatic weapons. He could identify practically every make of vehicle, and every weapon he was ever likely to see. Knew a great deal about body language and the techniques of protecting individuals in both friendly and hostile environments. His girlfriend, Anthea Austin, was also a PO, but they never got a chance to work together. In their wisdom, the powers that be hold that police officers who are in a relationship off-duty should not be on duty at the same time or work in close proximity to one another. Like most police officers, Dennis and Anthea agreed that this was a sensible state of affairs because no matter how good you are, serving close to your partner can lead to inappropriate actions in an emergency. Today was a memorable day for Dennis. He had driven important people before, including royalty. But this was really different. He was to drive President and Madame Bortunin from the royal suite at Heathrow to the embassy building where the President would be staying during the talks in London. A woman protection officer, Miranda Evans, had been assigned his car, and at 7:30 on this Monday morning, Dennis pulled up in front of the Semi in Hammersmith where Miranda lived, only a stone's throw from the house Dennis shared with his 73-year-old mum, who looked after him, cooked his meals, and generally waited on him hand and foot. Ostensibly, Miranda lived alone, but in reality she had a series of friends who helped out with the rent and provided other interesting experiences. Miranda Evans was very much a girl of the second millennium's first decade. Dennis tapped the horn, as he'd promised, having already saved her a good 10 minutes, by signing in at the Nick for both of them, a job he'd done 15 minutes earlier. As protection officers, they were both permanently armed, he with a Glock 9mm, she with an H&K semi-automatic pistol. Dennis wore the Glock now, in a cross-drawer holster on the left side of his belt, so that the pistol was snug against his hip. Shifting in his seat, he reached over to touch the butt, making sure it was settled in a comfortable position. Tyler wore a dark grey, conservatively styled suit, with a white shirt and burgundy tie decorated with gold fleur-de-lis that, he had checked, was considered appropriate for the occasion. The last time he had driven a member of the royal family, Dennis had had a sizable strip torn off him for wearing a tie embroidered with small pink elephants. Today, he was immaculate. Miranda Evans came swinging down the small path to her front door, neat and slim in a dark suit and a crisp white blouse. Her skirt hem ended a modest 1 inch below the knee, which was unusual for Miranda, but it was not considered acceptable to wear skirts up to your navel when on duty with either royalty or a head of state. No matter that today they knew Madame Bortunin would sashay down the aircraft steps in a skirt that would probably not even cover her bottom, they were still duty-bound to maintain modesty. "Hiya." She slid into the seat beside him, buckling her seatbelt, then doing a kind of shimmy to make herself comfortable. If he'd not known she was a police officer, Dennis thought he would treat her with caution. He might even give her a wide berth, for Miranda had the outward appearance of being one of the girls, the female equivalent of laddism, an outwardly brash noisiness, with a svelte figure and loud assertiveness. Dennis was basically a quiet, no-nonsense young man, and at times, in the canteen, for instance, girls like Miranda and her mates would embarrass him and make him feel decidedly uncomfortable. Later, his girlfriend Anthea would ask him about his day, but not about the Bortunins. Anthea would quiz him about Miranda Evans and her disregard for modesty whenever she was on the cars. Anthea was a suspicious girl because her mum had caught her dad in a blatant infidelity in the stockroom of the international stores where they'd both worked. What was galling to Anthea's mum was that this had happened some 24 years ago, 2 days after they'd returned from their honeymoon, and 1 week before Anthea's dad left her mum forever. She never tired of telling her daughter of this terrible fate, and warning her of a similar destiny. Dennis had long realized that Anthea was not necessarily the only girl in the world for him. Sometimes he felt trapped, as though Anthea had somehow snared him as a trophy, and it occasionally worried him slightly that, quite against his natural instincts, he often found Miranda and her friends more attractive than Anthea. For instance, he found her very attractive this morning. "You're looking dead cool today, if you don't mind me saying so," Dennis told her, raising his eyebrows and doing a finger and thumb movement to straighten his tie. There was none of this feminist business about not liking compliments where Miranda was concerned. Long ago, she'd let it be known that the more compliments she got, the more thigh she was prepared to flash, and the more bubbly she would become. She'd even suggested greater compliance, but in Dennis's case the possibilities had been left unplumbed. He had no desire to be rebuffed, and his lengthy association with Anthea had taught him that even a long and loving relationship did not automatically give one access to the pleasure gardens of love. The feminist sisterhood remained in despair over Miranda Evans, but the male officers with whom she worked never complained. "Every little bit helps, and flattery will get you everywhere." She batted her eyelids. Miranda was an accomplished flirt, but she was also a very professional police officer. Later, when they picked up the bulletproof Rover and their principals, they would only speak to one another if it was absolutely necessary. Now, on their way to get the car, Dennis and Miranda were relaxed, not what you would call nervous, but just that tick over normal, slightly apprehensive. Bound to be. Wouldn't be natural if they weren't a shade anxious. As Dennis drove to the secure garage where the Rover had been kept overnight, they talked about the latest bits of gossip in the canteen, what they'd seen on television, and the state of the world in general. After all, they were both young, fit, and ready for anything. If either of them had been your boyfriend or girlfriend, you would have had the right to be uneasy. "Your Anthea going to give you a hard time, 'cause we're driving together then?" Miranda asked. "Why should she do that? No." But he was too casual, a shade too laid back. So she laughed, a great, almost dirty guffaw. "What?" Dennis feigned bewilderment, and Miranda spent the rest of the drive to the secure lock-up, needling away at him. When they pulled into the garage, a second man and woman waited by the Rover, which was polished and shining, obviously juiced up and ready to go. "D.S. Tyler?" the man asked. "Who wants to know?" Tyler slipped the button on his jacket. "D.I. Hunter. You are Tyler, aren't you?" Hunter flipped a warrant card and a leather wallet at him. "Yes, Gov. Sorry about this, Tyler, but there's been a change of plan. We're to drop you off at the Nick." "What do you mean? I'm driving the Rusky President." "I'm sorry, as I said, there's been a change of plan." Dennis Tyler's mouth fell open. "Oh, shit," he said loudly, just as the uniformed sergeant in charge of the secure garage in came out from behind the gleaming Rover. "Absolutely right, Dennis. They rang me 20 minutes ago. Sergeant Vosper rang the Nick. D.I. Hunter and W.D.S. Collins have to drop you back there to get new orders. They've got all the paperwork and everything. Signed, sealed, and delivered." "Where you from, then, Gov?" Dennis tried to hide his disappointment. He felt that this was some senior officer's vote against him. "Special branch, but I live only 5 minutes away. Mind if we just drop round there for a second? I might have left a pan on the hob." "Always doing tricks like that. Forget your ears if they were loose," said the sergeant, Collins, pulling a face at Miranda Evans. Miranda muttered something about being pissed off. "I've been looking forward to getting a photo with that president's wife. She's dead tarty, ain't she?" "I'll see what I can do. They're here for a whole week, and we're going to be with them all the way," the D.I. told Miranda. Miranda thought that the D.I. was so relaxed he would fall apart at the joints if he wasn't careful. He also obviously liked the smooth power of the car, the way he drove. The Russian president would get tossed around in the back if the D.I. handled a motor like this, she thought. She had done the heads of state driving course, where you were told to always imagine you had a full glass of champagne sitting above the dashboard. The object was to never spill the champagne. "Whoops, there goes another glass," the instructors would constantly shout, as you manhandled the vehicle into a tight turn, or hit the brakes too sharply.